Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get down to brass tacks. What do you say? No more dancing around the issue. Talk a little football. Santana Dotson, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
No, it's not. Stop it. There's nothing good about this morning. Our team has lost two in a row. We're 9 weeks into the season. We've won three games. We now are in this circle. We are now as good as the Jets. We are as good as the Tennessee Titans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Indianapolis Colts. The list goes on. It doesn't get any more impressive, Santana.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we played last night like our record indicates, like you're saying. We look like we're about a 50-50 team, you know, give or take. You know, we have signs of greatness and brilliance, and then at other times it's how could you do something so foolish?
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan of the dumb mistakes, like taking a swing at a guy.
It was an open hand slap. Should have been a penalty. Was a penalty. Happens all the time, but thrown out of the game for it?
Yeah, there are a few of them. I mean, you have those, you know, player antics, and testosterone is everywhere. So was the officiating bad or to a degree? Yes. You know, there was another situation during the special teams when they went to block the kick where it was running into the kicker on a 3rd and 21 or 4th and 21. It was running into the kicker, not roughing the kicker, which they gave New England a first down for as opposed to a 5-yard penalty.
Right.
But then at the same time, why? The guy was literally 7 yards from the punter. So why he's jumping up like he's in a schoolyard playground, I have no idea, to even put himself in that situation. So that's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, you can't go in and play a team like New England and the LA Rams the week before and just have those silly mistakes like that and expect to come out with a win.
Not only is it bad to do against New England or Los Angeles, it's just the dummy plays are just bad whenever.
How do you
coach that out of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of it goes with youthful and inexperience, and you're going to get bit every time. You know, you're going to take or drink the poison every time when you have a lot of young and inexperienced guys out there. But you've just got to literally beat it into their heads that, you know, in the NFL, it's not like Joe College where you can just show up and impose your will. You know, even if you're playing a 3-4 or a Tennessee or a Colt team or a team that's not faring very well a particular year, trust me, it is hard to get a victory every Sunday. So you don't want to beat yourselves, and you can't put yourself in that position. You just cannot.
Right. So instead of giving the other team, a guy like Tom Brady, 15 yards he really doesn't need.
Right. He's going to go get plenty of yards on his own.
What do you do to your players that do those things? Do you fine them? Do you make them run laps? Or
No, I think we're beyond a run lap. So you're going to bench them or find another place for them to play or go elsewhere. But, yeah, if you sit them on a bench for a little while, I think they'll remember what to and what not to do.
So well, your assessment of last night's game, of the Sunday night game?
Closer than the score indicates. You know, if, again, you can't have a turnover. If that turnover doesn't happen, we're approaching the red zone.
How many teams can say that today, though, Santana? How many teams are out there going, geez, if we just don't have that one turnover, which good teams don't, right?
Good teams do not. Good teams do not. But if that ball isn't turned over, then we go up by three or a touchdown or 3 points at least, then we're able to continuously dictate to Tom Brady and the offense. So, you know, and New England's offense. So I think the game's a lot closer, and, you know, you'll always put your money on our offense trying to find a way to score some points. Actually, I'm going to say this again. It's 2 weeks in a row, and I think that the defensive game plan was an excellent defensive game plan, and what got us off the mark was a couple of trick plays, a fake trick play for a touchdown, and then a reverse backdoor pass, swinging gate type pass,
yeah,
that ended up being a touchdown. If those two things doesn't happen, we're talking about how good the defense played.
I was wondering about that.
We struggled defensively, so you can't put them on the field with a Tom Brady-led offense continuously and expect them to come out, you know, on the top end.
On that pass back, and who threw that back? Who was the receiver who threw it back? I can't remember.
It was Edelman.
Okay. And he played quarterback in college, so he's quite capable of throwing that pass across the field, right?
Yeah, very capable.
But if somebody comes in after the pass to Edelman, if a heads-up back or linebacker realizes what's happening, can he fly through there and destroy the receiver before he gets the pass if he sees what's coming? Because the play is on at that point, right?
Yeah.
Or is that pass interference?
There's no defensive holding or pass interference behind the line of scrimmage. So if you recognize it, yes, you can grab the potential receiver or tackle him because he's behind the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
But that's a lot to see in a short time.
Yeah, but I just wondered if somebody had spotted it, could they have done that, or do you have to give him – is he just another receiver at that point and you still have to treat him like a receiver?
Behind the line of scrimmage, you're able to – he's a blocker first, a receiver second.
All right. All right, yeah. So
– the thing about that play is Tom Brady was leading the charge as far as blocking down the field. Yeah. And you guys know the quarterback would lay victim back in the day if he even tried to block somebody. And I'm watching last night, and guys are literally running away from the quarterback because, you know, this day and time, you can't even touch that guy, and he's the lead blocker.
Well, it's like he's radioactive.
Yeah.
Remember when, and I don't know if this is when you were playing, but when the quarterback threw an interception, somebody just went hunting for the quarterback years ago. Remember? They just go destroy him.
Buddy, you would look him up. Not only to send a message, but when there's a turnover, you know, the last guy, the last line of defense is typically the quarterback because he turns into a safety or he's the furthest back to keep the touchdown from happening.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to look up that safety when there's a turnover to make sure in the event that the guy that gets the turnover, that he's able to get into the end zone. So he would be, you're exactly right, he'd be the first person you look up to make sure you got him out of the way.
Yeah, I can't think of great quarterbacks who are also good tacklers.
No, because they got the hell out of the way.
Maybe Roethlisberger could kind of plow into you, but
I don't.
Not good tacklers, but at the same time, remember, all these games are close, so the difference in 3 points and 7 points could be the difference in winning and losing. So you want to make sure you get that potential last tackler out of the way.
But it's safe to say the hunting the quarterback days are over. In the NFL,
they
correct?
Over. He has protected every play.
Yeah.
So the big Rodgers-Brady matchup didn't seem to be much of a matchup after all the hype the last week, I guess.
I think there was a lot of hype going into it. You know, it's the barbershop argument, the beauty shop argument that people love to talk about, just like LeBron or Michael Jordan, you know, all those types of things.
Well, Jordan was in the pregame. He was in the – yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you get the categories and everything else. It goes through the test of time of who and why. Is it the championship? Is it the man-on-man, the better athlete, you know, the better arm?
What do you base it on? What's your bottom line for who is better between the two, you know, with their careers?
If it's man-to-man, I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback. Pure position quarterback because of his athleticism and the fact that he can throw from any plateau on the football field. If you're talking championships, then there's no regarding that. You've got to say Tom Brady is probably the best quarterback to ever play the game, which goes a lot into timing and coaching. And why I'm going to say that is I don't have stats in front of me, but if you were to look at the division he plays in, every year they come out on top, but every year who's in that division? You got the Dolphins, the Jets, and Buffalo Bills, which if you can win your division and or conference, you're going to liken your chances to get to the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not taking anything away. I respect Bill Belichick. I respect the job that he does year in, year out. We've talked before about his game plan, and I think it's always immaculate. But at the same time, if you have all that and you're in a division that you're able to dominate the way they've dominated the last dozen years, then, you know, it's going to be a little bit weighed to your interest.
Well, I think Brady's record since we're talking
in that many championships and he's continually going to Super Bowls at 41 years old, I got to say he's got to go into the hierarchy of one of the better quarterbacks to ever do it.
He, when you talk about dominating your division, you know, he's 29-3 against the Bills. 29-3 against. Wow. Think about
what happened
that.
Those three times.
Right.
I mean, just think about how long the Bills have been bad. They've been bad for a very, very long time.
Yeah. And Brady's been good. If you're a Bills fan, Brady's been good for a really long time. So, yeah. And I'm sure, I don't know what his record is against the Jets or who else is in their division. I'd have, you know, whatever.
You got the Miami Dolphins.
Miami, yeah.
Got the Jets. Yeah, so the list goes on. And then you look at our division, it's a lot more competitive than the AFC East.
Speaking of the Dolphins, they're coming up next. We get them in Lambeau next week. How are you intimidated by the Packers at all coming into Lambeau Field? You have just as many wins. The Packers have lost two in a row now. They're not doing anything that's that impressive. We're banged up all over the place. I personally think you're excited about playing the Packers.
Yeah, you're definitely not concerned. You're not overly worried. You are more focused on, guys, if we can go up there and do our thing. They're good defensively. They've got a couple of good running backs. If we can get up there and do our thing and we're in this game in the fourth quarter, we might be able to steal one. So you're definitely excited about the opportunity to come up to Lambeau and finally try to get a victory if you're a Dolphin or a Dolphin fan.
Right, and you're coming up the very edge of winter now, too, you know, where they've
got five wins, don't they, the Dolphins?
Dolphins have three.
Three?
Yeah, three. Yeah. They're another one of those unimpressive three-win teams, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you look at the standings, you go, three wins. They're not going anywhere. Yeah, so. All right, Santana, well, it's on to the Dolphins.
It's on to the Dolphins. As always, tomorrow. We got through this season. This is a season flying by. We're already into week 9.
That is.
I wouldn't say flying by. It just seems like it's just slip away every week.
It's not flying.
It's like running in mud.
But the train is moving.
It's not getting anywhere.
It is definitely moving. All right, Santana, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. Try to have a good week.
Always have a good week.